Tonight, I'm excited to be able to introduce in the person of Brother Chad Bro. Brother Chad is a student of the Bible. He's a member of the Kleinwood Church of Christ. Now, here's a topic. Are there Christians in every church? Let me say that again. Are there Christians in every church? Brother Chad is going to tell us the answer to that question. He'll come from Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 to 8 text. Brother Chad, I think we all need help with this topic. Can you do that for us tonight? Brother Chad, bro.
Good evening. I'm very thankful to be invited to speak on this program. I pray the effort will continue. As Jesus said, Jesus came to this world to seek and save the lost. We're in a new year, 2024, and many people had plans to be here this year. Many people may have purchased an upcoming cruise back in 2023, and maybe that cruise was going to go maybe to the Bahamas, or maybe they purchased a flight to France or Italy, England, maybe down the road to Florida, what have you. They planned a vacation, and instead of going, sadly, they died and stepped into eternity. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death we have judgment. We're sadly living in a world where, unfortunately, lots and lots of people will not make heaven their home. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14 says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And look what it says next. There are many who go in by it. Verse 14 says, narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there is only but a few who find it. You know, many people say it's bad to be narrow-minded, but in fact, a Christian must be narrow-minded. The verse literally just said, narrow and difficult is the way that leads to life. However, if you look at the religious world today, they make it seem like it's easy to get to heaven. They say things like, all you have to do is believe. You don't have to do anything but believe. But the Bible says in the book of James that even the demons, the devils believe and they tremble. You see, belief alone is not what God is looking for. God wants belief and obedience. Or maybe someone says something like this, all you have to do is accept Jesus in your heart as your personal Savior and say the sinner's prayer. But did you know that's nowhere to be found in Scripture? If it was really this easy, Jesus would not have said in Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into heaven, but the one who can is he who does the will of the Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to Jesus in that day, talking about judgment day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And Jesus said in verse 23, I would declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, it's going to be many people, many religious people, many good people, good moral people, who are sadly going to end up in hell because they did not obey what Jesus said according to his commandments. So that leads to the question. Can a person be saved going to any church? I was reading an article that said a famous wrestler by the name of Hulk Hogan was recently baptized at a Baptist church in Florida. Many and lots of people are excited. They think this is awesome news, and lots of people are happy for him. But should that really be the case? Should a person be happy for Hulk Hogan? Did he obey God according to truth? Can a person be saved going to any church? I don't want to only single out Hulk Hogan. I want to talk to any and everyone that's listening to this message. It may be that you have not yet obeyed God according to Scripture. It may be that you're a truly honest person and you just don't know that you haven't obeyed God according to Scripture. It may very well be that God has allowed you this opportunity to be on this call, hear this message, hear his word, and have an opportunity to obey truth. The Bible says in Titus 2, verse 11, that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. What does that mean? God will provide an opportunity to every single person on planet Earth to have the opportunity to hear truth and obey it before they end up dying in their sins. Salvation has appeared to all Amen. Nobody's going to be able to stand before our just and awesome, perfect God and say, I never knew. You never gave me the chance to hear the truth. No one's going to be able to say that. The Bible says in Acts 17, verse 30, that God once overlooked ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. With that being said, we all know that life is short. Life is too precious. We have one life, and after this life, we die and we have the judgment. We need to know the answer to this question. We cannot afford to get it wrong. Are there Christians in every church? And can a person go to any church or become a Christian according to Scripture? I want to make it very clear. I'm not going to give you my personal opinion to the answer on this question. I'm going to strictly give you thus saith the Lord. But before we answer, are there Christians in every church? Let's first answer the question, can a person go to any church and become a Christian according to Scripture? To fully answer this, we need to break it down to four different points. Point number one, what is the church? Many people have the idea that the church is a building. Lots of people use the term, I'm going to church, but the church is not the building. The church is a group of people. The correct term to use is I'm going to worship. Acts 2:47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You see, the church is the people. If myself and a few other Christians decided to worship God under a tree every Sunday morning, that would be the church. But there's something special about these people in the church. Those in the church are not just regular people. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen generation. Talking about Christians. Christians are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Look what it says next. His own special people. You see, the church, a Christian is special to God. Acts 20 and 28 says that Jesus died and he purchased the church with his own blood. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says that the Christian was bought with a price. You see, Jesus paid a price to purchase his own special people. And to add to that, Jesus didn't just purchase any church. The Bible says he only purchased one church. Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said, and thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. You see, that's singular. The honest truth is this. Jesus didn't purchase any of these other religions. He didn't purchase any of these other churches. He only purchased one. And to make this a little bit more clear, the Bible says once a person is baptized, God will add them to the church, Acts 2:47. You see, the Lord is going to be the one who adds you to the church. It's not going to be like someone goes and joins a country club. No, God does the adding. And God is not going to make a mistake and add a person to the wrong church. God's not going to accidentally add you to the Baptist church. He's not going to accidentally add you to the Catholic or Methodist or Pentecostal church. He's only going to add you to the one that Jesus died for and purchased with his own blood. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:4 that it's only one body. You may be saying, well, what's the body? I don't know what that is. Ephesians 1:22-23 tells us that the body is the church. Therefore, Jesus died and only purchased one church. Romans 16:16 gives us the name of the church of Christ. Point number two, the Bible says that those in the church were of one mind. Those in the church were unified. Philippians 2 verse 2 says, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Romans 15, 6 says that you all may be with one mind and one mouth. 1 Peter 3:8 says, all of you be of one mind. Acts 2:44 says, all who believed, talking about Christians, all of the Christians who believed had all things in common. Acts 2:46, they continued daily with one accord. The list can go on and on, but you should get the point here. Those who were part of the church had unity. They all taught and believed the same thing, and it wasn't any divisions. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. The church was unified. The church was to speak and teach the same thing, and there were no divisions. You know, it may be times where someone has tried to show you scripture in a very loving and caring way, but maybe you say to yourself, ah, that's just how you see it. I don't see it that way. Or maybe you say something like this. We all see the Bible differently. We all have a different interpretation of the Bible. You know, I can go down this route and you can go down that route. We're all going to get to heaven at the same time, same way. It doesn't really matter. People say things like that. But you know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Ephesians 3:4 says, When we read the Bible, we may understand the knowledge and the mystery of Christ. You see, the Bible makes it clear that we can all see it alike. The sad truth is this. Sometimes people are just unwilling to change because it may jeopardize a family relationship or a relationship with a friend. The truth of the matter is God's word stands firm. We can teach and understand the Bible alike. As a matter of fact, it's a command to be unified. One thing I notice as I continue to grow as a Christian, as I sit down and study with people who are not yet Christians according to the truth, many people don't want to obey the truth because it's going to break their family tradition. I want to strongly urge you to test all things and hold fast to what's good, as it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Instead of following mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, see what they believe. See if what you were taught lines up with the scriptures. Jesus said in Matthew 10:34, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies would be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves a son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, but he who loses his sake for Jesus, he who loses his life for Jesus' sake will find it. The point being is this. Do not follow religion blindly. God wanted unity. God wanted us to follow him and his word, not family and friends. Let God be true and every man a liar, Romans 3:4. Remember what Peter said in Acts 5:29. We ought to obey God rather than man. Point number three, the church you must be a part of must operate differently than the world. They must operate according to Scripture. What do I mean by that? Let me explain. I'm about to call some names of denominations, and I'm not saying this to be mean or hateful. I'm saying this in a very loving way. How should the church operate? Well, if you look around today, the Baptist church calls for preacher reverend, and the Bible says in Psalms 111, verse 9, that holy and reverend is God's name. The Pope in the Catholic Church, he calls himself Father, but Jesus said in Matthew 23:9, and call no man Father upon earth. Why? Because one is your Father, only one is your Father, which is in heaven. The list can go on and on, but the organization of the church that we can read about in Scripture, they have elders, Acts 14:23. Not everyone can be an elder. Elders have certain qualifications, and this can be found in Scripture, but that's a different topic for a different day. The church has deacons, 1 Timothy 3:8-12. Not everyone can be a deacon. Deacons have certain qualifications as well. Next, the church of the Bible worshiped in a certain way. Jesus said in Matthew 15:9, in vain they worship me, teaching the commandments of men. The way the Bible says the church worshiped, they took the Lord's Supper every Sunday, Luke 22:19, Acts 20:7. They also had preaching and teaching, Acts 2:42. They prayed, Acts 2:42. They gave, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. And when they gave, they did not tithe. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, they freely gave whatever amount they purposed in their heart, because God loves a cheerful giver. And lastly, they sung songs with their mouths, Ephesians 5, 19. You know, I find it very strange that today many people want to bring instruments in worship when God has already given us an instrument to use. Our voice, our vocal cord, is an instrument given to us by God to sing a cappella songs to Him. And lastly, the Christians in the New Testament were given specific biblical names to use for the church. You know, we understand this from a worldly perspective. If I were to own and operate a McDonald's, unless it was approved by the CEO of the company, McDonald's would never allow me to change the name of McDonald's. Have you ever drove down the road and seen McDonald's has a different name? No, you haven't. God gave us a biblical name to use for the church, and one of them is located in Romans 16, 16, the Church of Christ. I want you to consider yourself. Imagine you sent your only perfect, sinless son to a world, and you had to watch your perfect, sinless, innocent son die a cruel death and sacrifice himself for a world full of wicked, sinful people. Imagine the only request you asked was for the people to love your son with all of their heart, all of their mind, all of their strength, and all of their soul, and obey his commandments and do as he says. Can you imagine how you would feel if you seen people doing opposite of what you asked? Well, you know, that's what many people do today. Sadly, many people turn their nose at God and ignore his commandments. They create churches that do not do things according to the will of God. God requires us to operate the church in a way that's pleasing to him, to operate in a way in which he commanded. All right, so let's do a quick recap. The church you need to be a part of to get to heaven must, number one, be the special group of people that Jesus died for. Remember, the church is a group of people who are special to God, and Jesus died to purchase the church, and Jesus only purchased one church. Number two, those in the church were unified. They were all speaking and teaching the same thing. Point number three, the church you must be a part of must operate differently than the world. They must operate according to Scripture. Remember, the church's organization is made up of elders and deacons and leadership. Worship was conducted by having a Lord's Supper every Sunday. They did not do worship, they didn't conduct the Lord's Supper just once a month. They did it every single Sunday upon the first day of the week. Preaching was done every Sunday. Praying was done during worship. Giving was done every worship for those who prospered. And if you did prosper, remember, they did not tithe. God loves a cheerful giver. And singing was done every worship without the help of mechanical instruments. And lastly, the biblical name of the church was the Church of Christ. Lastly, point number four, the church that you need to be a part of to get to heaven must follow the pattern on how to be saved as those Christians did in the New Testament. I did a quick internet search, and it said that the world has over 45,000 denominations. You see, that's very confusing. 45,000 different denominations who all speak and teach different things. One group would say, you need to baptize infants, baptize your babies, that saves you. Another group would say, baptism doesn't even really save you. Another group would say, a person's already saved before they're even baptized. You can get baptized, but it really doesn't even matter. You see, all of that is false teaching. The Bible says in the book of Galatians, chapter 1 and verse 6 through 8 reads, I marvel that you are turning away from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, look what it says next. Let him be accursed. The person who teaches another gospel, that's not from God. The Bible says, let them be accursed. You see, it's only one gospel. Mark 16, verse 15 to 16 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. 1 Peter 3:21 comes right out and says, baptism saves us. Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission or the forgiveness of sins. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 and 5 says, we are buried with Christ when we are baptized. We are to raise after baptism and walk in the newness of life. In order to be saved, you must be baptized. A person is not saved unless you're baptized according to truth, baptized according to the scriptures. So to answer the question, can a person go to any church and become a Christian according to scripture? No, they cannot. You cannot be taught wrong and baptized right. One church is not just as good as another. You must be taught according to scripture. If you follow and do the same things as they did in scripture, God is going to add you to the church, and that's where the saved are located, Acts 2:47. And to answer the second question, are there Christians in every church? The answer is no. There are not Christians in every church. Sadly, Hulk Hogan did not become a Christian according to scripture. Therefore, sadly, Hulk Hogan is still in his sins. You may see someone get baptized at a denomination such as Hulk Hogan, how he did, and later on they may say that I'm a Christian now, but the truth of the matter is this. They're really not a Christian according to scripture. All they sadly did was get wet. Sadly, as I mentioned, they're still lost and still in their sins. The only way a Christian would be in a denomination is a person became a Christian according to scripture and was added to the true church of the Bible, the church of Christ. If they then strayed away and decided to go to a denomination, that's the only way it would be a Christian in a denomination. That would be called there a strayed away Christian. And in that case, the Bible says in 2 Peter 2:22, that would be like a dog going back to his own vomit. You see, that's a disgusting picture in the eyes of our Lord for a person to know the truth, obey the truth, and turn from it. You know, a person can be born in the middle of nowhere without any technology. If all they had was a Bible, they wouldn't become a Catholic because that's not in the Bible. They wouldn't be a Muslim. That's not in the Bible. They wouldn't be a Baptist. That's not in the Bible. They would simply be a Christian if they follow what the scripture said. Just like if a person were to send me a seed from an orange that came from France, if I were to plant that seed in my backyard that's in Texas, I will get nothing but an orange. I wouldn't get an apple or a pear. I would only get what the seed provided. Just like if we pick up our Bibles, if we're honest and truthful with it and handle the scripture correctly, the seed, the word of God, Luke 8:11, will only produce a Christian. If you're on this call and you want to become a Christian and be added to the one church that we can read about in scriptures, you must first begin so by doing what God requires. You must hear the gospel story on how Jesus hung, bled, and died. You see, Jesus was beat. He was mocked. They spat upon Jesus. They put a crown of thorns on his head and whipped him with a whip. The Old Testament made a prophecy saying in Isaiah 52:14 that Jesus' appearance was marred more than any man, meaning he was beat so bad he was unrecognizable. He was beat to the point of being disfigured. They led Jesus up a hill called Calvary. They put our perfect, sinless Savior in the middle of two thieves and put nails in his hands and in his feet. He would then hang on that cross to die. The scripture says when he was hanging on that cross, one of the Roman soldiers pierced his side and out came blood and water. You see, that blood is what cleanses us from our sins. You know, we sang a song. It goes like this. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, we contact that blood through baptism. When we're baptized, we contact the blood of Christ. And that's how we have the forgiveness of sin. You see, our Savior died, but he rose again on the third day, and he rose to never, ever die again. You see, it's power in that story. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Hearing that story should make you want to respond. It should make you want to truly follow Jesus according to scripture. It should make you want to leave all denominations and come to the truth. After hearing that gospel, you must believe it. You must repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and you must be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. After being baptized, you must live a faithful life until the day you die, and then you will receive a crown of life, Revelation 2:10. One last thing I want to make very clear. Just because you're baptized according to truth and added to the one church, that does not mean once saved, always saved. Paul, the Apostle Paul, said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I discipline my body and bring it to subjection, because if I don't, while I'm out there preaching to others, if I don't discipline myself, I myself should become disqualified. You see, this is a total different topic for another day. I just wanted to make it very clear. You must remain faithful, because if you don't, you will be disqualified. You will not make heaven your home if you're not a continual faithful person. If anyone wants to respond to this message by putting on Christ in baptism, let us know now. We'll make that happen immediately. We don't know when we're going to die. It may be tonight. It may be tomorrow. It may be a month from now, 2 months, a year. We don't know. Jesus could return the minute this call ends. The question is, are you ready? Have you obeyed God according to Scripture? There is not Christians in every church, and one church is not just as good as another. That concludes this lesson. I thank you all so very much for taking the time out of your day to listen to this message. God bless.